podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
It's great to be here again with you, and welcome also everybody who watches online the video podcast. It's great that we have you guys around. We hear testimonies coming in from people who watch these video podcasts, and they're really encouraged and inspired by it. So it's just great to have this opportunity. I want to talk about relationships today. In His house, and we saw last week that it is so important that we are placed by God into a church. God wants us to be placed. Psalm says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. And we saw that often God gives us a place, and sometimes you might like that place very much, and sometimes you might even struggle with it. But we saw that Samuel, the prophet, he wanted to anoint King David, and he was not found because he was out in the fields with the sheep. This was his place. And God found him there in his place. And I believe that many times God wants to come and promote us, but we are not in our place anymore because we ran away before time and we are somewhere else and we jumped around getting some attention somewhere. But if it's your place to be with the sheep on the field, you should be on the field with the sheep, because God will come and He will find you right there and promote you. So this was basically the message from last week. Okay, we can sip it in one sentence. I don't know why we do a whole Sunday about this. The quintessence today, we go a little bit further. In Dutch, I call this message Alleen is maar alleen. In English, I want to call it We Are Better Together. So there's a real need for relationship. If we would have to summarize our whole life in general, heaven and earth, and express this with one word, what word would it be for you? What would it be for you? I thought relationships would be a good word. In the end, it's all about relationships. Have you ever heard that somebody complained on his deathbed that he wished he would have worked more hours in the office, that he would have made more money, that he would add a little more 10,000 euros on his account, that he would have another house, another car, another swimming pool? No, the regrets that people have in their last hours is, I wish I would have reconciled this relationship. In the end, it's relationship that matters. This is what it all comes down to. If we look at this, the big book says in the beginning that God made us in His likeness and His image. And the word that we find there is, let us make man. It's plural. There was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit was already in the Old Testament, the first page, the second verse. There was God, and God spoke, and the Spirit hovered over the water. You have the Trinity right there. There was a relationship between them, and they said, we want to have relationship with these men that we built, that they are in our likeness, in our image. So the whole reason for this all is relationships. If we look at the New Testament, here we go, now we look. For where two or three gather together as my followers, look at this, I am there among them. The New Testament says that there's a special presence of Jesus when? When we come together, when we have relationships. Alleen is maar alleen. You cannot have this alone. There's a special thing going on if we come together, because God honors, values, loves, and creates relationships above anything else. He wanted to be with us. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to reestablish this relationship. He wants to be with us, and He wants us to be with each other. So there's a special thing going on if we come together in the name of Jesus. The word of God is very clear. It says, Ecclesiastes, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not. At the end of the day, your money won't count. What really counts is relationships. And it can be relationships to your spouse, to your children, or to good friends, to a church family. There are people in the church, they don't have natural children due to whatever reason, but they've become spiritual mothers and fathers to many. They have deep relationships, because God is into it. I thought about why is it then that sometimes it's so difficult for us to get into that, to allow it, to be around people and allow people to be around us? And I thought about the Belgium context and the German context, and what would be proper reasons for people not to live in relationships. And I came up with a handful of it. I just want to go it over with you. Common reasons why we do not experience relationships in terms of friendships or stepping into a group. First is naivety. The men are guilty of that, especially. Well, I'm fine. I don't need that. I got this. I can go through this alone. No, you can't. It's naive to think that because we were wired for relationship, every single one of us. No, it's said from Muhammad Ali, a former Cassius Clay who turned into Muhammad Ali, one of these great boxers. You know, humility was not his strongest feature. Now, everybody here, this sentence, "I am the greatest," is from him. So he had a healthy self-awareness, let me say that way. The one day it said that he stepped on a plane and the stewardess asked him, "Well, sir, would you please fasten your seatbelt?" And he refused and he said, "Superman doesn't need a belt." And the stewardess replied, "Superman doesn't need a plane either." Sometimes it's just plain stupid to not put on your belt. Or it's plain stupid to say that you can't handle life alone, because we can't. We can't handle life alone. There are moments in the life of a human being where nobody should be alone. If you stand in front of an open grave, if your partner just walked out of the door in the first night, you shouldn't be alone. If you sit in a hospital waiting for a result, you shouldn't be alone. We need each other. Relationships have such a high value in the kingdom of God, in the church. It's why in his house we should understand relationships in a very special way. Temperament. I don't think people can handle me. Well, that might be true sometimes. That's why we say, come as you are, but don't stay that way. We want everybody to come as they or she as they are, but nobody can stay that way, because we all live transformation. You know, if you claim that you had a real encounter with God, I tell you one thing, what happens if you have a real encounter? You had a real encounter. If you walk away from that encounter, you've changed. You can't stay the same. And the same way in the church, if we are in the presence of God, if we walk with Jesus, it rubs off on us. Having a relationship with God changes us. You know, they say that you will become the middle, how you say that, you will become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You will become like the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I read an article lately about adultery, and it says that there's one of the main aspects is if the partner who committed it was surrounded by friends who knew his partner and would value marriage high or not. This is one of the main factors. If you're out with your buddies and they don't know your partner and they don't value marriage, they will say, "Come on, look how sweet she is. Come on, what? It's not a big deal. No, we all you have this influence, you have this signals, you have this input." You're more likely to make a very bad mistake. But if you're surrounded by friends who know your partner, who value marriage, they will sit, if they're real friends, they will sit you down. Says, "Look, marriage is precious. You think twice. You are about to make a major mistake." This is what real friends say. It has a major influence on us. Relationships. The friends you choose have an influence on you. The people you surround yourself with have a major influence on you. And this is for everything, negative and positive. You know, this old German saying, "Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are." There's truth in it. It's relationships. Fear. I'm afraid to get to know other people or that they get to know me. Why? They might find out that I'm not perfect. They might see my failures, my mistakes. It's messy. People are messy. I'm afraid of that. I understand. But know that there's not one perfect person in this house right now. We are all the same. We all carry our stuff. We all have our issues. Don't let fear stop you from getting to know God and getting to know people. Past experience. Well, but it went wrong back then. I know. And you know the truth is, it probably will go wrong again. Because you cannot love if you're not willing to take a risk. You cannot love if you're not ready to make yourself vulnerable. You can choose not to be vulnerable anymore, but you put yourself in a prison. You cannot experience the joy and the depth of a real relationship because you locked yourself up. I don't know how many times we had this in counseling settings that people are not able to feel it or to give themselves. Why? Because it went wrong in the past and they made this, it's almost a curse. That this will never happen to me again. I will never trust a person like, don't say this. Never say this. It hurts, right. Receive healing, right. But step out again, trust people again. Love people and receive love. This is what life is all about. You put yourself in a prison. Now for us pastors, sometimes this is a huge challenge because over the years you have the one or the other person that you trusted. It just didn't work out. And you need to make a decision that I will never stop to trust people. Even if it went wrong here, I will not stop to trust new people again. You need to keep your heart fresh, protect. This is for everybody. And last but not least, busyness. Busy, busy, busy. I would love to join a lifeboat, but I'm too busy. Well, guess what? I'm busy too. We have almost 3 daycare centers. I have 3 kids. I'm married. We have a growing church with 2 services. I understand how you spell the word busy. I'm aware of it, but I found out one thing. If it has priority, I make time for it. And I learned another thing. If I do not put it in my agenda and everything else must be around it, it will not happen. This is what we learned. If we do not put down a date night for the two of us on the calendar with red color and we organize a babysit, it will never happen. You have this, honey, you know, we should do again. And 3 years later, you find out never happened. Why? Because we're always busy. But if we put it in our agenda and everything needs to be around it, time with our kids. If you don't say this Saturday, we go out to the playground, whatever happens. This is our date. This is what we set down. If we don't treat it like this, it will not happen. Because I guarantee you, Friday evening comes a phone call that requires you to be there on Saturday. And if you then cannot say, I'm sorry, I already have an appointment, I'm playing with my kids, I can't come, it will not happen. If it's important, it will work. But we need to do our part. The Word of God says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You might not like this truth, but you need me, and I need you. In the church, we need each other. You see that? We belong to each other. This also, I'm not only belonging to myself, I also belong to you. Sometimes people say, I don't know if I should go to church because sometimes I have nothing to it. And I understand this, but what if other people would have something to you showing up? Ever thought about that? If God wants you to have this one conversation, give this friendly word, give this encouragement, give this blessing. Maybe this is your task. We are not only belonging to us, we belong also to others. And maybe you have not much to it, but maybe other people have much to it that you are there. So we need to see the whole picture. I found a great quote, Chuck Swindoll. I have no clue who that is, okay? Don't look it up. If it's a bad person, I'm not responsible, all right? I just like this quote. You know, he's a good guy. Okay, thank you. Save my day. To make this thing called life work, we've got to lean and support, relate and respond, give and take, confess and forgive, reach out and embrace. Since none of us is a whole, independent, self-sufficient, super capable, all-powerful hotshot, let's quit acting like we are. I love that. We need each other. You need me, I need you. And it's an adventure to step into a church who cherishes and values relationships. It will be challenging, but this is what makes us grow. This is what changes us. That's the whole idea about being in his house. So don't be a loner, even if it's sometimes easier, I know, but don't be a loner. Come to church. Come step into fellowship. I found, I did not create that. So, you know, the best teachers are thieves, you know that? Best teachers, you know, you hear this here and you pick this up there and you read something and so the best teachers are thieves and you just get your stuff together. So I did not create all of this. I wish I would. I'm not that brilliant. 4 areas in life that help us to understand how deep, how healthy, or how holistic, is a great word, relationships can be, or the relationship that we live. And I want to ask you, while we're talking about this, to ask yourself, what kind of level of relationships do you allow in your life? And maybe today is a day where you decide to redefine some of your relationships. Let's get started. The first area is called the arena. The arena is marked by the fact that you know it and I know it. I would call it, that's my social media self. That's the platform. Everything is out in the open. But like you see it on Facebook, do you really believe that there are people out there who have a great, happy day every day? All these posts on Facebook, having a great time, look at my food, everything is so, this is so LSD greatness. So, but this is not reality. Some of these people are highly depressed. They have the toughest time of their life, but they build up this social media, my goodness, I'm so excited, social media self that gives the idea that everything is right. And we can very easily have this relationships in church as well. This would be conversations on the level of, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. And you? Great. Thank you for talking. Have a nice day. It's nice. It's polite. Nothing is wrong. But that's not relationship. And we all have this. No, sometimes it's not possible. You cannot have this deep stuff going on all over again with everybody. It's not. I'm not saying that. But if you only have, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Conversations. You will starve to death on the inside. You will starve to death. You can be surrounded by people, you will starve to death, because we were created for deep, real relationships. The Word of God says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? There's a real you to it. Behind all the Facebook pictures and posts, there is a real person, and this person is not always right. Not always fine. This person has issues. This person has a bad day. This person sometimes fails. This person sometimes does stupid things. That's the real you. And in church, we need to get beyond this point of the arena and have real relationships and allow ourselves to be that open. Let's go a little bit deeper. The next step would be the mask. The mask is identified by the fact that I know it, but you don't know it. There's something that everybody sees, that's the arena, but behind there, behind my mask, there is this one problem nobody knows about. And we need to come to a point, and this only can happen with trust and real relationship, that you have this place, your connect group, your friends, where you put down this mask and said, look, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, I have a porn addiction, I struggle with alcohol, I struggle with aggression, I'm in depth, I still struggle with myself because I hate myself sometimes and these feelings overwhelm me from time to time and I want to cut myself, and all this junk is welcome in church. If we create a clean place where this has no place anymore, we failed as a church completely. Your junk has a place in this church. And I don't say put it out to everybody all the time. No, but find the people, put down your mask, and be honest. No, the Word of God says we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say it out in the open. Putting things out in the open is the remedy to many problems. You know, Hadassah and I, we have this agreement, and whenever I make a mistake, she's the first person I would tell. Why? Because I want to be that person. I want to be the same on the inside than on the outside. And I ask her to forgive me as husband, and then I ask God to forgive me as his son. Because I want to be transparent. One of the biggest compliments I ever heard was from Isaac Liu, a Chinese pastor in Germany. And his father is a legend. He's called the Heavenly Man. He spent I don't know how many decades in prison. He was tortured. He was beaten. He was starved half to death. He's a hero in faith. And this Isaac said about his father, and I love this. He said, there's one thing I can tell you about my father. He was the same on the outside than he was on the inside. If he was preaching, he was exactly the same person than at home at the kitchen table. There was no fake about this man. I said, wow, if my children can say this about me one day, I consider myself being happy. No masks. We strive for a life without masks. What's the remedy? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, very often this thing that creates such a power, it starts with a seed. You make this one mistake. You allow this one bad thought in your head. You have this one downfall. And because it stays in the dark, it grows. And it becomes so powerful. And it said, look at you, you hypocrite. You shouldn't stand there on Sunday and preach. You shouldn't help other people. Look at you. You're not better yourself. And you're putting yourself down. You have all these struggles. And what's the remedy? Put it out in the open and you will see that this power will collapse. This alone has power. Confess your sins. Can I talk to you for a second? I just want to confess something. Yesterday I did this. I want to ask forgiveness from God. Can we pray together? You will see it has an effect. Because you walk out as a righteous person. You don't have to burden yourself with all these battles of the mind and this stuff that puts you down. Let the light shine on it. Bring it out in the open. And it will heal. And it will heal. You know, if we go on vacation, we have people watch our houses. We have great neighbors in Hirsel, and we have this, we gave phone numbers that, hey, if you guys are away, we have your back. We watch your house. Something happens, we give you a call. And the other way around. So why would we have these vulnerable places in our soul not protected? I need an ally in this. If I have a problem, I need to tell anybody. Said, please watch this. You have the right to speak to me about this. I need you. I want to be transparent to you. This works great, but it needs a trust relationship. This is why we need each other in his house. In his house. The next one would be the blind spot. The blind spot is marked by the fact that I don't know it, but you know it. This stuff that we are not aware of, and it needs a good friend to tell us. We are not taking this from strangers. We are not taking this from people who want to manipulate us or put us down. We only take this from real friends. Now, if I would have had spinach for breakfast, and I would stand here with a green spot in my teeth, and every time I open my eyes, you burst out in laughter and in tears, and I think, I'm so funny today, I'm so anointed. It needs a real friend to take you aside. Say, Frank, psst, you need a good friend to do that because you don't see it. And we only take this from good friends. The church should be a place where we can address these blind spots. My son Joel once confronted me with one of my blind spots. He said, no, I have the tendency that if I'm under pressure, more pressure, and cruciating pressure, that I draw more and more back into myself. It's like this man cave thing. Many men have this. Now you grow more silent and silent and silent because you struggle with it. You need to find solutions. We want to find solutions. We don't want to talk. We want to find solutions. And this one day I was like lost in myself. I was playing with the kids, but I was not playing with the kids. My body was there, but I was gone. And I think I was silent for 20 or 25 minutes, just sort of trying to solve problems. Until Joel came and he said, Dad, really draw my attention. Can we talk something? And it dawned on me. He did not want to talk about something specific. He just wanted me to be present. He just wanted me to interact with him. That was an eye-opener. And then I tell you, this moment, when you realize that, it doesn't feel very nice. It's not a very brilliant moment, but it's needed. Now, we all have these blind spots, these things that good friends see, and it needs a good friend to address it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A real friend is the person who tells you things you also do not want to hear. That's a real friend. He says, hey, could it be that sometimes you have the tendency to, may I say this, you always put yourself down. You always drown in these thoughts. I observe you since years, and there's this pattern in your life. I just want to share you because I'm your... We need friends to confront our blind spots. And the last one, let me close with this, is the potential. The potential is marked by, I don't know, and you don't know. There's something happening in your life, and you don't have no clue why this happens. And guess what? Neither do I. I can't help it. some kind of accident, some kind of thing happens to you, and we are both there in tears, and you cannot understand why that happens, and I cannot understand either, but I can be with you in this moment. I can be with you in this moment. You don't have to be alone in this moment. I cannot solve it. I don't have an answer. I cannot fix it. I cannot pray it away, but I can be there with you. This is what friends do. And there's also unknown potential in you that you are not aware of, and I'm also not aware of. But as we walk together, we will find out together. There's something that at the moment none of us knows, but the word says, as each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. That's awesome. As each part does its work, if I do my job, if I be on my place, if I'm open for relationship with you, if I do that, it makes you grow. And the same the other way around, because we don't know what's in you. You know that Smith Wigglesworth, with the difficult pronunciation, what a last name, Smith Wigglesworth. He started his public ministry as he was 47 years old. Nobody knows what's in you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe I don't know, but if we walk together, we will find out together. Stuff that you don't know and that I don't know. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I believe that in Lighthouse, in the church, in his house, we need to get this down, people. We need to build relationships that are real relationships. They're not just arena relationships, but they really get it down. If we miss out on that point, we miss out on the whole point of having a church at all. Then Sunday morning is nothing but entertainment. And we just come, have our coffee, consume, but everybody lives his life. Nobody is in each other's business. Everybody is on himself. We miss out completely on the whole idea of church. You know, Rick Warren once said, bigger is not better. Smaller is not better. Only better is better. As a church grows, we need to work a little bit harder on the relationship. That's true. But there are big churches out there with a couple of thousands or 10,000 of people, and they have a great relationship. And there you can be in a small house church and you still live arena relationships. So bigger is not better. Smaller is also not better. Only better is better. So, and as we have this as a value in his house, open up to someone. Be open for people to approach you. Join a connect group. Invite somebody for coffee. Invite somebody for lunch. Just open up. Don't be a loner. If we get this down, size won't be the problem. I promise you. Smaller is not better. Bigger is not better. Only better is better. We are better together.